Today's show is brought to you by KickUp. KickUp helps leaders ask the right questions to get actionable data, visualize information to guide effective next steps, and track teacher growth over time. Learn more at kickup.co.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
In today's show, I connect with Jeff Veal and Nathan Lang, the founders of LeadUp Chat, my favorite Twitter chat. It happens every Saturday at 8:30 in the morning, Central Standard Time, and lasts about an hour. It's a great place where people really connect. There's a real sense of community and family, and it's an exciting time, so I hope to see you there. If you don't know how to Twitter chat, go to the blog, betterleadersbetterschools.com, and type in Twitter for Educators, or search that on Google. It's a top-ranking page, and it'll walk you through exactly what you need to do in terms of Twitter chat. In the show, we're going to talk about why every educator needs a voice, what's next for LeadUp, how to focus on value and not numbers, and the power of saying yes. I do want to say in today's episode, these guys are super busy, so this was the ideal time and the only time I could connect with them. And so there is some background noise because of a restaurant, but I want you to close your eyes, think that you're at a lovely restaurant in Italy, enjoying a nice glass of wine, and there's just this ambiance, this crowd noise in the background, and really enjoy it that way, okay? Thank you so much for listening. I never take that for granted, and enjoy the show. All right, well, Better Leaders, Better Schools listeners, today's a big day for me. I'm connecting with two heroes of mine, Jeff Veal and Nathan Lang. They're both just amazing guys, and we were able to connect via the LeadUp chat, Twitter chat. So Jeff is a lifelong learner, a speaker, professional learning facilitator, administrator, and connected leader. He's a co-founder of LeadUp Chat, an educational leadership professional learning network via Twitter. He has been a presenter at conferences with an emphasis on effective digital communication. Additionally, he's been an elementary and middle school teacher and currently serves as a middle school assistant principal in Frisco, Texas. Before his work in public education, Jeff served students and families in the nonprofit sector. Jeff's passions include leadership development, effective communication, and cultivating meaningful school cultures. Jeff lives in McKinney, Texas, and his wife, Heidi, and two young boys who keep him pressing forward to do what is best for kids. And Nathan. Nathan's a divergent speaker, writer, presenter, professional learning facilitator, and education pioneer. He's a co-founder of BAMI-nominated LeadUp Chat, an education leadership professional learning network via Twitter. He's been a speaker and presenter at both local and national professional conferences, is currently a national consultant at Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. Before joining HMHCO, he's the director of elementary curriculum and instruction for Metropolitan Nashville Public Schools. Additionally, he has been a high school science teacher, an elementary assistant principal, high school assistant principal, university adjunct professor, and was an education supervisor at the NASA Johnson Space Center. Nathan resides in Nashville, Tennessee, and enjoys spending time with his family, wife, two kids, and a dog, running, biking, hiking, coffee, and connecting with others. Jeff, Nathan, thank you so much for joining me on today's show.
Thanks, Daniel. Our pleasure.
Yeah, thank you, Daniel. We really appreciate it.
So guys, why don't we just start with the story of LeadUp Chat? Why did it start? How did it get started? And what's the purpose of it?
And Jeff, I'll let you start because I'm in a restaurant. I have some nice little friends, new friends here. So I'll let you start and then I'll pick you back. How about that?
Yeah, that sounds good, Nathan. Thank you. All right, so Daniel, it's really a pretty cool story because, you know, we live in a day and age where so many of our connections don't happen within our districts or across a campus, but they happen much more globally, where the power of Twitter really brings people together in a professional learning network. And Nathan and I happened to, over the course of a couple of weeks, interact with each other through the same Twitter chat that we were part of and started finding out that we had a lot of the same mindset and vision about leadership. And that led to some phone calls and that led to some visioning together to where we started talking about some real areas of needs or deficits that we saw in helping to really prepare leaders to have what they need to serve on their campuses and at the district levels and to really lead up. And it was a shared passion of the both of us. And so from that was born this idea of saying, we could go do this. We could start a chat together. And in the process of starting the chat, it led to really forecasting and dreaming out together about how we could broaden our base by thinking through a website and by thinking through how we could expand our reach on Voxer. And again, we keep thinking next, and next about what that looks like for us, because we really do sense that there is a real need for your everyday educator to see that they have a voice, that they really are empowered to lead change on their campus, that they have a real opportunity to move that conversation forward. And so Nathan and I's heartbeat this whole time has been connecting educators not only across the country but worldwide and having meaningful conversations about what that looks like to make an impact.
That's really great stuff. And, you know, I heard you say what's next. You know, what are you guys thinking in terms of where you're bringing the tribe and the connection on Twitter and what we do throughout LeadUp?
Nathan, I'm going to let you, if you can hear that.
I can.
kind of volley through a little bit of, what's next for us.
Yeah, and to really extend Jeff's thinking and kind of the answer to the first question, it really is about not an individual brain power, but just the collective. And when we start to get folks to work together, it's amazing the results that we can achieve together. And so you look at folks in the tribe and you look at, you know, oftentimes we'll have tribe members come and say, oh, I can't believe, you know, so-and-so is starting, you know, another amazing offshoot of something they're doing in their role and just all of these successes that we can celebrate together. So as we think next steps, we think about what are those successes that are currently being experienced in the tribe and how can we leverage each other's successes going forward? So what does that look like? Does it look like, you know, we've talked about, you know, weekly podcast shows. We've talked about working with districts and like a leadership framework and how leaders are able to truly leverage and build capacity in their buildings and what we could do as a collective group and the empowerment that's involved in that. And so there's, you know, there's a lot of different things that we could do. And our vision is not to do things just for the sake of taking a risk and just for the sake of, oh, let's try something new, but do something that really resonates with where we are going in education. And so here recently we started, actually this birth from the group with Laura, Heidi, and Liz taking really charge of LeadUp Teach, and they've done a phenomenal job. And so they have slow chat questions and they have Google Hangouts now. They're starting to use that tool to bring guests on and talk about their experiences. And so we are continually dreaming, visioning together what that might look like in the future. And we involve leaders in our tribe to help make the decisions and help us decide what is the next direction that we should go.
You know, I love that sense of community of the tribe of really, it's almost like it's open sourced, right? You know, we talked in the pre-chat how LeadUp's not necessarily about you two, even though you founded it, but how you really demonstrate servant leadership and empowering others through what we do with LeadUp. And I really admire that about you too, how you pull everybody's strengths, right, within the group to empower all educators that we interact with. It's just a fantastic thing. And Jeff, you know, we talked in the pre-chat too about the importance of relationships within LeadUp too. I was wondering if you could add a little bit more to how we build those relationships and you know, what you see of the value of it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think ultimately, that's a really great question, Daniel. I think ultimately, people are hungry for connection. And in today's day and age, where it's easy to be disconnected, even in the midst of social media and having so many connections, that, you know, we go and we do our jobs every day, and we go to school, and or we go to our district, or we go to our spheres of influence, and we have these working relationships. But in the process of that, you know, if we're not careful, we can eliminate or discount the humanity. And what we really strive for is just ensuring that there's that personal connection. I'm learning from you, I'm growing from you, but I'm vested in you as a person, and that's important. to know your backstory, to know the things that make you tick, because ultimately every single person is a leader. And it's tapping into understanding what about your leadership can you use to leverage in your sphere of influence. And one of the things that has made LeadUp a very, I believe, powerful force in many ways, week in and week out, for people is they feel a sense of community and they sense that this is a place I belong. And so tribe for us is very important because we want people not just to come and shop, but we want them to really come and be vested and get a sense of belonging. And where people belong, they stay. Think about any school. Ultimately, schools don't turn over because of bad curriculum or because the kids, you know, are hard to reach. It's whether they feel valued, if they feel loved, if they feel cared for, if they feel that there's a sense that, hey, their voice is heard. That's what keeps people there. And we understand that ultimately for us and our mission of LeadUp, we want people to know they have a place at the table.
Yeah, that's so true, you know, and add to that as well, you know, do they, it's like, is it, are they visible, right? Are you really seeing your people? Do they have also a sense of safety so that they can be their true selves and connect? You know, I love so much of what you talked about there, but it's true. It's a community. It's family. I mean, even though we engage on Twitter, it continues throughout the week through Voxer. And, you know, Sundays I get up to go to church. That's a non-negotiable for me. But Saturdays, you know, I used to love sleeping in. And now you guys got me waking up every Saturday. It's been like a year now. And that's true of there's the core members and there's people that are participating week in, week out. And, you know, for some folks, that's 8:30 in Central Time. And it's earlier, right, on the West Coast and a little later for those East Coast folks. But you guys have done that in terms of the sense of community and the sense of family.
Well, and, you know, we appreciate that feedback, Daniel, because, you know, when Nathan and I started this, it was a shot in the dark for us. We knew we had a mission and we knew what we were doing was had value in our eyes. But to see, I think our very first chat, we had like 40 folks who joined us. And then to see this last Saturday, we had hundreds and hundreds of folks who were engaging with LeadUp. What that says to us is connecting with people. And it's never about numbers. It's about value. And we believe as people continue to share their experiences and how they are stretched and how they grow in their leadership capacity as a result of those connections, then that's the value add for us. We want to facilitate learning and knowing that learning is not flat, that learning is going to happen by folks like you who are deciding to give up their sleep time to wake up and go and rub shoulders with other ed leaders who desire to want to get better each and every week.
Yeah, it's so important. You know, you can't focus on the numbers. And I think there might be even a lesson here for principals and not to ignore student achievement. I'm not saying that at all. But
right. When
you focus on creating the right environment and offering value and serving others, the other stuff begins to take care of itself. Nobody was listening to this podcast when I started, right? And now right. I've had, you know, a number of months of wild success where I'm really proud of, like, the download numbers I'm getting. That will continue to grow, but it took 8 months to get there, you know? So you have that vision like you guys had with LeadUp, and you stick with it, and you just, you know, each day you keep moving forward. That's what it's all about. Hey, Nathan, you talked about the importance of empowering educators. What does that mean to you? How do you do that as a leader?
Yeah, it's a great question, Daniel. We work in a field that really depends on really empowerment. And I know that word gets used a lot. And sometimes I even choose not to use a word because I feel like it's become very jargony, but it really does capture the essence of what we are doing in ed leadership. And we know that when we are inspiring a vision, that vision always goes beyond what we want to do individually. It's really about the collective community of people around you. And so to empower others is truly, and Jeff mentioned this earlier, about getting to know someone, getting to know like what makes them tick, what are their interests, how can they add value to the group. And when one person experiences success, the whole group experiences success. And that's very empowering to feel feel that, hey, I'm making a difference in the lives of students, but I'm also making a difference in the lives of my fellow educators. And so it's really, it's giving them voice and choice. It's giving them the microphone. It's giving them permission. And Heidi actually says this quite often. I love it. It's the power of yes. And when you say yes and not have anything after yes, and you just say yes, then that truly does give people the permission to really do the unthinkable and the impossible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so good. You know, and I'm a big fan of improv comedy, and I think that has some of the roots there where it's yes and, because if the comedians were saying no to each other as they're coming up with sketches, that comedy would fall flat. Nobody would be laughing. But when you take that preposterous idea, you say yes and build upon it. You know, improv is very good for leaders to learn, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I need you both to answer this question. I ask it as much for my listeners as I do for myself. Now, this episode is going to be released in October. I think it's episode 63, if I remember correctly. At this point, we don't know right now, talking in August 1st, but I'm either going to be a principal or I'll be pursuing better leaders full time. I really want to serve a school as a principal, as a leader, and get that experience. So I ask this question, knowing what you guys know and your vast experience, what would you tell a novice principal?
I'll take a stab at it. Yeah, I will tell the novice principal that you can work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and everything won't get done. And it truly is a relentless job. It's one of the most rewarding jobs, I think, that there can really be. I think it takes an amazingly strong leader to do the job of a building leader and principal. But there are so many things that are being required of a principal. And just to give them the permission and say, it is impossible to get everything done, nor should that not be your mindset. And to validate them that there's going to be tons of things on the list and tons of plates to spin. And it's up to you if you are going to choose to spin lots of plates or truly narrow and focus in on what your primary work is going to be. And so I would say a second to that, and moving past that, okay, you can't do everything and there's only a limited amount of time in the day. How will you then spend your day? What is most important? If you do have your vision, if it is ensuring that all students succeed, if that is your primary vision and mission. So I think it has a lot to do with prioritization and time management.
Yeah. I think it's a really great word that you shared on that, Nathan, and I'm just going to chime in on a couple of those things, Daniel. Number one, I would say, is never lose your true north. Always understand your mission and do not have mission drift. It's important for you to understand why you do what you do every single day. Number two, it's important for you to very early on get attuned with the culture and in step with the culture. It's one thing to want to come in and change an organization. It's another thing to be aware of its strengths and its areas of growth and then work with the stakeholders to do something about it. It's easy to come in and be the squeaky wheel. It's another thing to come in and say, hey, let's really be thoughtful about ensuring that together we're building greatness with one another. And then third, it's being available to your people. You know, as a principal, you get pulled in a lot of different directions, and ultimately, you will be of most value when you allow yourself to be ultimately a great listener before you ever start sharing your great ideas about what you think greatness looks like. And keeping in mind that those people who've been in that community, some of those people have been in that school as teachers or have had kids come through that school for years or maybe even decades, and that they're deeply vested and they care very much about what is happening in that school. And if it's a new school, then that's an opportunity yet again to listen. But keep in mind, those people were there before you, and for you, it's an opportunity to come and take all that you can bring to that table and sit down together and have a really honest conversation about what we want to do, as Nathan said, to do what's best for kids and to ultimately move this school, move learning forward. Because at the end of the day, we're all about ensuring that kids are growing in at high levels.
Let's pause here for a message from our sponsor. Today's show is sponsored by KickUp, a professional learning data analytics company that provides an easy-to-use platform, helping school leaders optimize their PD resources and efforts by soliciting and synthesizing teacher input on professional development needs, creating an intuitive and simple dashboard so leaders can take immediate and informed action to support teachers, measuring and reporting the impact of the PD efforts over time. Schools, districts, and charter networks leverage KickUp's platform and consultative support to synthesize data so that all stakeholders, administrators, coaches, and teachers can monitor progress, identify meaningful professional learning actions, and demonstrate and share impact. Learn more at kickup.co. Leading a school may be the most difficult job in the world, but what if I could guarantee that you could accomplish so much more in 1 year than you've been able to in any years past? The secret is to stop leading in isolation and to do so in community. The solution is to join one of my education masterminds. We meet weekly for an hour and discuss leadership and solve complex problems. Text Better Mastermind, that's all one word, to 33444. That's Better Mastermind to 33444 and start your journey to your best year ever. Now, back to the show. Jeff, how do you keep your finger on the pulse of the culture and really understand, you know, what's going on? Because sometimes, you know, I hope, right, through the relationships I build that people feel comfortable and they could be authentic and vulnerable around me, right, and share how they really feel. But my fear is, what if they hold back? I think that on some level that happens in culture. So what do you do practically to keep your finger on the pulse of what's happening in the culture?
Right. I think that happens in a couple of different ways. I think there's always going to be lots of voices in the crowd, and you've got to be attuned to both those who are perhaps critical, and then those who are your cheerleaders, and then those who are like straight down the middle. And ultimately understanding that all of those voices have value, and that there's student voice, there's teacher voice, there's parent voice, there's your community stakeholders. And a lot of what it comes down to is standing in the hallways every day. It's when you're on the phone with different stakeholders, parents, and they're sharing different things. Very quickly, I can get a sense of where our parents are at. If I'm on the phone and they're saying, I love your school, I love our school because of this, this, or this. Or it's really concerned me that this, this, or this. And again, it's a bit anecdotal, but we back it up as well with doing a lot of data where we're continually sending out surveys to our students and our parents. Are our percentages where we want them to be? Absolutely not. But between the hallway conversations, between what we send home, between the conversations I have when I'm at that student performance with parents or with students, the conversations I have with teachers when I'm in teaming, it's literally being so in the work of what's happening at your school or in your district that you can't escape the voices because they're sharing with you what they care most about. And we better be listening.
Nathan, what would you consider your worst leadership mistake, and what did you learn from it?
Man, going for the weaknesses here. Yeah, I would say my lack of probably listening early on. I think when I first jumped into the leadership role, I was all about really inserting myself as a leader and was just very hypersensitive to it's all about what I'm doing here and the evidence of what I'm doing. And so, of course, it was when you're trying to establish yourself, it's very one-sided. And so, therefore, you're not doing a great job of listening to others and maybe reaching out like you should, which is huge. When you're in any new realm or new position that you start, having a mentor is so important, or having someone to give you feedback. It's just huge in growth and obviously learning lessons and learning from your failures. And so I would say early on, just being so hyper-focused on ensuring that I was being a good leader at the same time, unfortunately, being a great leader requires a lot of just listening to folks and not always about solving problems, but just truly being in tune to what their needs are and being able to respond as opposed to go, 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 go. Here's what needs to happen. Here's what needs to happen. Go, go, go.
Jeff, same question to you in terms of worst leadership mistake and lessons learned.
You know, I think one of the areas that I have to consider a lot is slowing down. I have a personality that can really get ahead of where we're at, and that brings with it both a good and a bad. If you're not careful, you can tire your people out because you always want to come up with new initiatives or new ideas. And in the process of that, there can be initiative fatigue. And quite frankly, everyone is so busy. And there's so much on so many people's plates. And quite frankly, for many people, they don't need your next new idea. What they need is for you to stop long enough to really marinate in the greatness of what you're doing, celebrate that, look at how we can continue to improve that, expand upon that, grow on that idea before we're ready to move on to the very next thing. That's been an important lesson for me, especially in my even younger years, where I go, hey, great, we did that, what's next? And understanding that it's very important for you to calibrate yourself where the other leaders in your building are at. And if you don't, you'll burn them out, you'll tire them out. And if I was to look back on my younger self 10 years ago, that would have been something I would have given counsel on, because again, your people will stay long-term with you if they feel that they're not just holding on for dear life. They want to get a sense that, hey, I can wrap my head around this, we're going somewhere together, and that this isn't just another idea that you have for the rest of us to be doing right now.
Yeah, I just want to tell the listeners, too, if you're looking for ways to celebrate your people, we crowdsourced some great ideas, mostly from LeadUp participants and community, and you could get that at betterleadersbetterschools.com/staff-appreciation-ideas. Nathan, what would you consider a book every principal needs to read right now?
So my first book that I received as an administrator was What Great Principals Do Differently by Todd Whitaker. And I truly do feel like it's one of those books that, yes, it's been a few years since it's been written, but there's so much goodness in it. Maybe you need to get the What Connected Educators Do Differently as a follow-up to that. But it's really, I mean, there are a lot of great leadership books out there. I tend to read a lot of probably like non-education books. So a lot of like Seth Godin, Adam Grant, and so folks who maybe do some work in education but are not considered in education. But as far as like just getting down to the work of a principal, of a building leader, Todd Whitaker's work just does so much to inspire and give just fantastic examples of what to do in certain conflict areas and really how to boost morale and really focus on the cultural aspects of your school.
And Jeff, what would you recommend in terms of books?
Sure, I'm going to give two. And keep in mind, I do a lot of reading. I have an 8 and 5-year-old, and so I do a lot of reading when I'm off the grid from school with them. But two that I would recommend, and I've recommended this again and again to other people who are seeking ed leadership positions, Michael Follin's The Principal, 3 Keys to Maximizing Impact. Because the reality of it is, in today's world, we cannot be the instructional leader, the go-to for every single thing. But what we can do is build capacity in people. And that leads into my other book that I would really recommend that in the last year has been a real foundational book for me, has been Multipliers by Liz Wiseman. And again, thinking about how you can build capacity and extend your influence into other people's lives. You have to think about this. On any one campus, the principal is one person or the assistant principal. There's 2 to 3 people in any one building that's the administrator. But yet they're tasked with staffs of 50 to 100 people plus kids that could range anywhere from 500 to 1,000 up to 5,000 kids depending upon your school building size. That's a small town or a city. We've got to get this right on our ability to really understand what it is to lead through people, not just lead people.
Yeah, I love all those suggestions, guys. To Nathan's point, you know, that's the kind of reading we do in the mastermind. We definitely go outside of education just to learn from other leadership examples and how we could apply that to our industry. Yeah. And then, Jeff, I love the Multipliers reference. Liz Wiseman, I was introduced to her at the Global Leadership Summit that Willow Creek puts on. That's the best conference, you know, you can attend early August every single year for leadership. But can you believe, I don't know how Jethro did it. Liz is a guest in the Transformative Leadership Summit. So by the time our listeners get it, you know, they won't be able to see it live. All access passes might be available. Liz is a part of our summit. I can't believe it.
That's fantastic.
Very cool.
It is fantastic. And like when Jethro told me that, I was like, dude, I've read all her stuff. She's amazing. So incredible. Well, guys, hey, we're winding down, so I don't want you to explain your answers here. We're just going to be goofy and have a little bit of fun. I am on a mission to beat everybody I meet in rock, paper, scissors. So, Nathan, if we met and we played rock, paper, scissors, what would you throw first? And you have to be honest. Jeff?
Rock. That's funny. I was like, he better not say that. Yeah, it's rock for me, too.
Okay, cool.
Honestly.
Collecting my data. This is great. Okay, we're going to ping pong this. So, Nathan, Nathan and Jeff, these are either or type questions. Would you rather? I get them from either.io. They're just completely ridiculous, have nothing to do with schools or leadership. Nathan, would you rather have baby teeth or baby hands for the rest of your life?
Baby hands.
Jeff, would you rather have legs as long as fingers or fingers as long as legs?
I already feel like at 6'4", I have one of those. Maybe legs as long as fingers.
Perfect answer. Nathan, would you rather have a huge head and a small neck or a small neck and a huge... or the I can't even say it. Or a huge neck and a small head.
Oh, my gosh. We'll go with the big neck.
Jeff, would you rather see blurry all the time or see only in black and white?
Black and white.
Two left, guys. You're doing perfect. Nathan, would you rather slay the dragon or rescue the princess?
Slay the dragon.
And Jeff, would you rather spend a day in the Sahara Desert or spend a day on the North Pole?
A day in the North Pole.
Okay. Hey, Nathan.
That's surprising.
That's a nice way of saying you're wrong, or no, just surprising. Nathan, if you could put a message on a school marquee just for a day on every school marquee across our nation, what would it say?
Do you ride by kids?
And Jeff, same question to you, buddy.
I think ultimately I'm going to go with a little bit of an Angela Myers, but you matter.
That's great. Yeah, I love that. Do ride by kids and you matter. So important. Well, guys, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. You can hear that train in the background. It's great. Do you have...
Sorry about that.
It's okay. Do you have any parting words of advice, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can just always connect with me via Twitter. Always learning there. And I would say, just my parting words is, you know, this education is a very exciting and can be very serious. But I think at the same time, we can have fun in this journey together. It doesn't always have to be serious. And obviously, like the end of this podcast, we can have some laughs and really just enjoy the work we're doing.
And I think that's a good word, Nathan, because, again, our work is serious, but it doesn't mean we have to take ourselves so seriously all the time. But if I was to leave a parting word, what I'd say, Daniel, is this. We always need to be thinking in the midst of legacy and next-up leaders. Who are we developing to outlast us and outlive us in our current position? Because the reality is education is always evolving. We're always changing. Who are we pouring into and investing at a meaningful level so that those people are ready to rise up and accept that challenge, accept that baton of next level leadership? And if you want to connect with me any further, it would be at Heffery on Twitter. That's probably the best place for us to continue a conversation or a dialogue.
All right, guys. Well, I know you're busy, and thank you so much for your time and connecting with the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast.
Awesome. Thanks, Daniel.
It's a pleasure.
Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel, Jeff, and Nathan. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type lead up in the search bar, and the show notes page will pop up where you'll get highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. Jeff, Nathan, thank you so much for your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better. Better Leaders, thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Have you gotten value from today's show? Help me reach even more listeners by leaving a 5-star rating and review. Click the podcast artwork and press the Show Some Love link to leave an honest rating and review. A long, long time ago in a galaxy far away, patrons would sponsor artists to create something the patron valued. Would you consider becoming a patron of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast? If you found this podcast valuable, if the show has pushed your thinking about leadership, and if you've benefited in any way, then I would be honored if you would become a sponsor. Sponsorship is easy. Head over to patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes to become a patron for as little as $1 a month. If you pledge $10 a month, I'll send you one of my favorite leadership books every other month. That's patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes. Do you have a question or need some leadership advice? I want to connect with you. I read every email, tweet, snap that's sent to me. Links are in the show notes to connect via email and social media. Better Leaders, Better Schools is a proud member of the Edu Podcast Network. Podcast for educators, podcast by educators. You can listen to more great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.